She was sentenced to death in prison in Iran for her faith, but she lived to tell the story.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I cannot wait to do this interview today to introduce you to a special guest and to find out firsthand details of her story. Marzia Amirzadeh, sentenced to death by hanging in Iran while in prison, sentenced to death by hanging in Iran, survived the notorious Evin prison, and now lives to tell the story of her faith. I can't wait to tell the story for you and hear it with our guest today. Before I do that, I want to encourage every single one of you, if you're watching on YouTube, click on thumbs up and go ahead and share this video now. If you're watching on Facebook, click like and share. If you're listening on radio, if you can, call or text a friend, tell them to tune in. If you're listening after the broadcast on podcast, as soon as you're done, go ahead and share it with others. We want to share the story as widely as possible. And my guest was introduced to me, fascinatingly enough, by my Orthodox Jewish friend, Jonathan Feldstein, living in Israel. And he said, "You've got to meet and connect." And the moment I saw her story, I said, "We've got to get her on the broadcast." So without further ado, Marzia, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for inviting me. It's such an honor to share my story on your program. And as you mentioned, I would like to thank our mutual friend, Jonathan Feldstein, for making this connection.
Yeah, quite amazing. An Orthodox Jew connects an Iranian Christian to a Messianic Jew to share this story with the larger Christian world. We'll talk about your books and how people can connect with you in a moment. But you were born shortly before the Islamic Revolution in 1979, led by Ayatollah Khomeini. So you basically grew up in an Iran that had changed dramatically. What was it like as a little girl and a young woman growing up in that environment?
I'm sure everybody knows that about the Islamic Republic regime in Iran, because it's all over the news, and this terrorist regime, how they treat their own people. And imagine, I was born, as you mentioned, a few months before the revolution in Iran, and I faced many difficulties, many challenges, and women's rights violations from my childhood. For example, at the age of 7, I have to wear hijab, a complete hijab, going to school, and there are many Islamic laws against women. For example, they cannot attend a stadium to watch any support sports. They cannot be a judge. They cannot have the custody of their children. They can't sing, dance, ride a bicycle. There are many things against women, and they have to have a compulsory hijab at the age of 7. And as a child, I was facing all these difficulties, but praise God, he made me a fighter from a very young age, and I was fighting against all these rules from my childhood to keep my rights.
Well, what was the price of fighting back, even before coming to faith in Jesus? What happened to someone that didn't conform? You know, we hear the stories now and people dying because of it, even as more and more Iranians are less religious and are pushing back against the regime. But this is in the early days as it's taking over now and imposing this on women that had been very free before that. What kind of price did you pay for pushing back?
Yeah, there are many prices. You can get arrested and they punish you in different ways. At schools, I was witness. I myself got punished once, but I also was witness to my classmate, how brutally they were punished just because of not being able to cover their own hair. And in the society as well, there are many punishments that you can get arrested. They brainwash, all Iranian people with Islamic laws, and they threaten them to follow the Islamic rules. And I'm sure people heard about Mahsa Amini in 2022, yeah, that she got arrested just because of not having a proper Islamic hijab. And she was brutally beaten, which led to her death.
Yeah.
So there are many costs for Iranian people who do not follow the Islamic rules. And I experienced it in my own life and in the life of my loved ones in Iran. And I myself, my story as well.
Yeah, so before we get into some of those details, and then you're converting, and then the price you paid for that. Growing up as a girl in Iran, or just as a child in Iran, what did you hear about Israel and America? How were these nations reported to, and what were the sentiments in your country about Israel and America?
I'm glad you asked this question, and it is very important to mention that from our childhood, they brainwash our children against America and especially against Israel. They spread anti-Semitism at schools. For example, they teach students that Israel doesn't have the rights to exist. And there are many verses in Quran. It's not something that they created. There are verses in Quran about anti-Semitism and killing Jews. They teach students a map of a world without the map of Israel. And I remember when I was very young, there was a series from a national TV that trying to demonize Jews through showing that series. At that time, I remember I had no idea who are Jews, where is Israel, but that was a kind of brainwashing people against Jews, against annihilation of Israel. And this is something that it's routinely they brainwash people with that. And they force children, for example, to stand in the line at schools every morning to say death to America and death to Israel. And this is not just empty words. They are very serious about it, because there are Islamic teachings that for the end time, Muslims need to be united, and they need to annihilate Israel, which is going to open the path for their 12 Islamic imam to come. So this is not a joke. This is so real to them, and they strongly believe that after annihilation of Israel, they can open the path for their 12 imam to come.
Yeah, so, you know, Christians can relate to the idea of believing in the second coming of Jesus, and we want to bring the gospel all around the world to hasten the return of Jesus. And it's very real to many Christians, and they live with this expectation of the return of Jesus. So you're saying that growing up as a child, and then just the mentality in Islam, not just hype from the leaders, but genuinely believing there'll be the Mahdi, the 12th Imam revealed. There's even a famous hadith that says that the end will not come until you fight against the Jews and destroy them. So you're saying this, just like Christians look forward to the return of Jesus and feel there are things we can do to hasten his return, that as an Iranian Muslim, that you felt that there were things that could be done. This is what you were taught. Annihilation of Israel, etc., was critical for this final redeemer to come. That was a real belief in your circles. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's the truth, unfortunately. And this is totally evil. And as I mentioned, there are verses in Quran about this.
Yeah, so how is it then, growing up in this environment, that you're exposed to the gospel?
Yeah, praise God. You know, from my childhood, I was very curious child, and I was asking lots of questions. I wouldn't accept everything by just saying to me, because at school they forced the students to to obey the Islamic laws, and they describe different kinds of punishment and tortures to the students that if they do not obey the Islamic rules, they will face this kind of tortures after their death, that God will punish them in many severe, savage ways. So imagine, as a child hearing these kind of things, I could not believe such a definition of God, because I had a very good father that loved me so much, and I always compared this relationship, and I could not accept it, that how it's possible that God who created me could be such a cruel God. And I started questioning the Islamic rules, like, you know, Muslims, as you know, they have to pray namaz 5 times a day and just keep repeating Arabic words, which is not my language. My native language is Farsi. And just bending in front of God at specific times. And I had lots of questions. Why I have to speak to him in Arabic? If I talk to him in Farsi, he cannot understand me. This is ridiculous. Why I have to cover myself? Why I have to bend in front of him just a specific times a day? If I talk to him in another time, this God won't hear me. And, you know, my questions would make my theology teachers angry. And they told me, no, you should follow the Islamic rules. You should not question. And that's why I decided to practice Islam for a few years. I mean, praying namaz and reading Quran to understand if there is any truth in Islam. And that was good, actually. That educated me about Islam by reading Quran. But after a few years, I felt, no, there is no truth. There is no difference when I'm doing that. It's just a routinely doing, practicing Islamic rules. So for the first time, God showed himself to me through a dream when I was about 17 to 18 years old. And it was it's a long story. We do not have time to share all the details. It's in my book, both my books, my second book, especially A Love Journey with God, which I shared the whole details and people can read it. But I make it brief that through that dream, God, it was a dream about a white horse, that God revealed the true face of Islam to me. And also he revealed his amazing love to that white horse, which really changed my life. That's an amazing dream. When I woke up, I could not believe that how much God loves me. So after having that dream, I decided not to practice Islamic rules anymore. In that dream, I didn't know anything about Jesus. It was just God wanted to show his amazing love to me.
I'm just going to jump in here, and we've got to pick this up on the other side of the break. Wow. So her own loving father made her question the God of Islam. Her common sense made her question it. But then a dream revealing the love of God, even without the rest of the gospel, made her understand that that loving God was not the God of Islam. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I've got some exciting news for you today about an amino acid formula scientifically shown to build lean muscle, improve strength, and reduce recovery time at any age. Dr. Robert Wolf was a researcher of muscle health who raised $20 million to fund 30 years of research and was able to perfect a formula scientifically shown to build lean muscle, improve strength, and improve recovery time at any age. And now this formula is available in Trivita's MyoHealth. Here is what Trivita members have to say. Patricia P. says, I'm 88 years old, a ballroom dancer, and compete in competitions. I could not seem to keep my muscle tone until I started taking MyoHealth. James H. says, I'm 60 and have experienced more solid definition of muscle, more energy, more stamina, and enhanced recovery after my workout. Now begin to imagine what you could do with more muscle, increased strength, and faster recovery. Whether you're a ballroom dancer like Patricia or someone looking to boost their fitness at 60 like James, now is the time to revitalize and rebuild the muscle, strength, and recovery of your youthful years with MyoHealth.
Build lean muscle. Improve your strength with MyoHealth. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of the proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, a quick shout out of appreciation to our co-sponsor, Trivita, who helps us broadcast on radio all over America and helps us with so many of our other outreach products that we use ourselves. Great wellness products. Healthy Church starts with a healthy you. So find out more at 800-771-5584 or go to trivita.com, trivita.com. Make sure you use the code BROWN25. It gives you the best discount and 100% of your first order, and a more than a tithe of subsequent orders is donated directly to the Line of Fire. It's win-win for everybody involved. All right, my guest, Marzia Amirzadeh, what a story. She has two books, Captive in Iran, so don't even worry about spelling of the name right now, Captive in Iran. So this talks about her capture and imprisonment. So we'll talk about it very briefly here, but you read the whole story in the book. And then her second book, A Love Journey with God, her journey to faith. So Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God, two books that will be compelling readings. So Marzia, I find it fascinating that your father, being a loving father, seemed very different than the God of Islam. And just the idea of the God who created you so lovingly, carefully, didn't seem to line up with the God of Islam. But then you have a dream that reveals the love of God to you. So you don't know about the love of God expressed through Jesus, but you simply know that this loving God, this compassionate God, even though in Islam Allah is called Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, so the merciful and compassionate, you knew that was not the real God of Islam. So this is the beginning of your journey, about 17 years old. You have a revelation of the love of God. You know Islam is not the truth. Now, how do you make that next step to come to Jesus? And what happens as a result of your conversion?
Yeah, as I mentioned, in my dream, it was about a white horse. And that white horse kept coming to my dreams that I shared most of those dreams and visions in my second book, A Love Journey with God, which is available on my website, marzisjourney.com, which is marzisjourney.com, and people can read the details. That dream, as I mentioned, really changed my life, and I stopped practicing the Islamic rules. But as I said, I didn't know anything about Jesus at that time. And it was a few years after that one of my friends who had converted to Christianity, and I didn't know, and she knew how much I love God, searching the truth. She shared about Jesus with me, about that he came to this world to free us from our sins, and he's the Son of God. And imagine, it was very shocking to me to hear such a thing about Jesus, because all the teachings in Islamic countries is that Jesus is only a prophet. So I, at the beginning, I could not accept it. But since I was very curious, I got the Bible and I started reading and doing some research. And one day I got tired of searching, and I just knelt in my room and I asked God if Jesus is the truth, to reveal it to me. I told him that you are my God and you should show me if he is true. They don't want to be misguided. So after that, more dreams, I received more dreams, more visions, and I had the experience of healing and all the details, as I said, it's in my book that people can get it through my website, marsisjourney.com. And after that, I began to believe in Jesus because of all those experiences and miracles. Because I could see there is a truth in Jesus. But I wanted to share the day that really changed my life was the day that I was alone in my room and I was just questioning asking some questions about the Holy Spirit and other things from God that to reveal to me, and because I didn't want to have any doubts about Jesus. So while I was talking to him and praying, suddenly I received the flames of the Holy Spirit. God baptized me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and my hand raised up, and without knowing, without any control, I started praying in tongues, in other languages that I never experienced. And it was shocking to me, and I would just keep worshiping him. And it was the first time I could feel very strong presence of God in my room. And suddenly for a few seconds, I saw Jesus. God gave me a vision, and I saw Jesus right in front of me, standing beside a large throne, which was covered with shining gold. And I felt that God removed the curtain before my eyes, and I could see him with my own eyes. And I was crying and nonstop worshiping and praying. I couldn't stop it because it wasn't in my control. And it took for hours. I had that experience with him. And after that, I dedicated whole my life to Jesus.
Oh, extraordinary. Friends, marzisjourney.com, marzisjourney.com to find out more and to get copies of her two books. So we've got a few minutes before the break, but you have an experience like that. You obviously begin to tell other people about Jesus. How bold were you in your witness?
You know, Dr. Brown, imagine when you have such a meeting with Jesus, when you experience the love of God, nothing can stop you after that. And after having such amazing experience and tasting the love of God, I wouldn't care about my security, my safety. And all I wanted to do, sharing this amazing message with other people, with my people in Iran. And I started sharing with my friends, my family members, and at my workplace. And since I was thirsty to know more about Christianity, I decided, with the advice of one of my pastor in underground churches, I decided to leave the country. And I went to Turkey and attended some leadership and theology courses to learn more about Christianity. And it was there that I met my best friend, Mariam Rosampur. And after finishing those courses, we returned to Iran because we wanted to give this message to our people. And that's why we decided to distribute Bibles. We prayed and asked God to give us a vision, and praise God. When I was one day I was reading Bible, and he showed me that Iran is like a desert, and there is a need for scattering seeds in desert, because in Iran you can't find Bible in any bookstores. So I called my pastor who was in London, and we asked them to send thousands of Bibles to Iran. And it was difficult for them because they had to find ways, illegal ways, to smuggle those Bibles to us. And praise God, after a few months we received it, and we started distributing Bibles at night. And I shared the details in both my books. And praise God, after almost 3 years, we could distribute 20,000 New Testaments in the capital of Iran, Tehran, and a few other cities. And we took Bibles to the most religious cities, the city of Qom, which is the center of Ayatollahs, and we hided some Bibles in the biggest shrine that Muslims usually travel to worship God there. So during all this time doing this mission, God really protected us. It wasn't like that easy. And there are tons of the stories. We shared some of them in both my books that what happened and how God really protected us for distributing those Bibles. And at the same time, we were leading two home churches, and during the day, we would talk to people about our faith. And finally, in 2009, the government understood about our work, and we got arrested in 2009.
All right, so on the other side of the break, this is where we pick up the story. While you have an encounter with Jesus like that, everything changes, and you cannot hold back. You tell everyone the good news, but there are consequences. And Paul wrote, all who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Now we find out what happens. And now you end up in one of the most infamous, brutal prisons in the world. That's where we go on the other side of the break. Go to MarzeesJourney.com. MarzeesJourney.com. Go ahead and get these two books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up, saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, back with my guest, Marzia Amrizadeh. Her website, Marzi's Journey, M-A-R-Z-I-S, MarziesJourney.com. The two books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God. So, Marzi, you obviously knew this could happen, but you must have heard the stories about imprisonment and the horror stories of what took place in Evin prison. You are now arrested and imprisoned for your faith. You tell all the story in your book, Captive in Iran, but just give us a glimpse of what happened to you, what you went through emotionally, and then what you were subject to in prison.
You know, I shared with you that before going to prison in my life at different times at school, in the society, I experienced many brutality, and I forgot to mention that they also tortured my husband to death, and as a result of that, he passed away.
So hang on. You mentioned that so quickly. What happened to your husband? I know you can't tell the whole story, and we want to get your imprisonment. But what happened to your husband?
Yeah, that's why I encourage people to read my second book, The Love Journey with God, with all the details. There are many brutality that I shared. I experienced living in an Islamic country. He was just a young guy seeking to finish his education with the charges of drinking wine and having an affair. They arrested him, which they didn't have any evidence. They tortured him for months and heated his head to the wall. And as a result of all those tortures, finally he passed away. So I was saying that I experienced the brutality of these evil people before going to prison. But about prison, I believe it was God's purpose, because again, in another dream, a few years before I get arrested, God told me that one day you will pass through prison experience. And I expected such a thing happen. I didn't know why. I remember when I had that dream, my only prayer to God was that to give me the strength not to deny him. And I knew that anything could happen in Iranian prisons, like torturing, raping women and execution. But my only concern was not to deny my God. So when we got arrested, it was very difficult, even though I knew about this. But honestly, the situation was terrible. They sent us for 14 days in an underground dungeon that it was a very small, dirty cells that we had to, my friend and I had to sleep on a cold concrete floor, cover ourselves with wet blankets that were soaked in urine. They would lock the doors from 8 at night until 8 in the morning, and prisoners could not even use the bathroom. And they kept insulting us because of our faith in Jesus, because in Islam, they believe that if you convert from Islam to any other religion, you are infidel and dirty. So I was witness to beating up other prisoners in front of myself. They forced us to being naked fully right in front of their eyes. There were many different ways that they insulted us, like putting food in a dirty pot and throwing inside those cells without giving us any plates or spoons. And as I mentioned, the situation was very difficult. And even though I knew that God has already told me about this, but honestly, for the first few days, my friends and I, our only prayers was to get released immediately. But after a few days, when we could see that how many people were get arrested and were sending to that underground dungeon, we found it as an opportunity to share our faith with more people. So we started talking to other prisoners who were hopeless, and they could not believe that how much God loves them. And after that, as I said, we started, instead of praying for ourselves, we started praying for other prisoners. And in that underground dungeon, we were able to talk to like 80 women who cried. They gave their hearts to Jesus. And we turned that horrible place to our church. It was like having a home church with other prisoners. And after that, they sent us to Evin prison, which is notorious for torturing and raping women, execution. And again, I was witness to many human rights violations and injustices. I experienced firsthand the brutality of this regime right in front of my eyes. And I was witness to execution of other prisoners. That was a very difficult experience. For example, once they kept me in a cell, and intentionally they sent me to the ward of murderers and kept me there. And after I built a friendship, they took one of my cellmates and executed her. And it was so shocking to me. They wanted to send a message to me that if this is the cause of your resistance, because from the beginning in the court, they threatened us that they are going to execute us because of our faith in Jesus. And our biggest charge was apostasy, which is punishable by death. So there were many times that we had a horrible interrogation for hours. They put pressure on us to deny our faith in Jesus. And I remember in the last few months, they told us, if you just write a few sentences and just deny your faith in Jesus, we will release you. But I remember I took that opportunity even to share my story with those cruel people. And I shared with them that how I became a Christian. I told them it wasn't like that I went to a church and they told me about Jesus or Christianity. Because of all those experiences, I gave my heart to Jesus. That's why even if you cut each part of my body, you're not able to separate Jesus from me. Go ahead and hang me. I'm not going to deny my faith. So when I say these words, honestly, I'm not a hero. I'm not a courageous person, but I prayed many times that God give me the power. And there were times that my body physically, I was shaking. I could feel the fear. But there is a verse in the Bible that Jesus told us, whenever you got arrested and you went to trial, don't worry about what to say, because just say whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. And I really experienced that, because the words coming out of my mouth, it was powerful. And sometimes I could hear my own words and I was saying, Marcy, you are in a big trouble talking to them like that. But I believe that God, the Holy Spirit gave me those strong words at that time, because he didn't want me to look weak in front of their eyes. But as I said, in prison, there were many discrimination. They executed my best friend, Shirin Alamhuli. She was a Kurdish girl that they brutally tortured her for months. And finally, they hanged her. And that was the most horrible experience, which really broke my heart. And also in prison, we were forbidden to use other facilities like using library and some classes, and they forbidden us. They told us, we don't let you to attend those classes, because they could see that how much prisoners were curious and interested to learn more about our faith. At the beginning, the first few months, there were some prisoners, they were prejudiced Muslims, and they called us dirty Christians for months. But we try to show them the love of God by loving them, by praying for them, by not insulting back, because they were keep insulting us. But they could see something different in us. And at the end, they told us that we see, as soon as you pray for us, a miracle happened. There are tons of miracles that we shared in our book, the first book, Captive in Iran, that how Jesus really changed that prison for us. And the interrogators, the guards could see that how much prisoners are interested to know about our faith. That's why they try to lock us even in prison, not to allow us to go to other wards, to other classes, but still there were many prisoners who were interested, and they would keep coming to us and asking us to pray for them. And God really changed that prison for us, and we made a revolution inside prison. And as I said, we changed Evin prison to our church, which made our interrogators very angry. And I had a few conversation with them, and they were so mad. And one of them shouted at me and told me that, you need to stop talking to prisoners about your faith. Even in prison, you do not stop. You should shut your mouth, not brainwash people with your wrong faith. And I told him that this is not my fault. This is your fault. You arrested us. You put us in this prison. Prisoners are curious. And they ask us why you're here, and we have to explain to them. So I could see he was so desperate, because they could not stop us. We already were in prison. That's why I believe that we were more free inside prison rather than outside, because we could talk to anyone, and no one were able to stop us.
Mm. Extraordinary. Friends, the website Marzi's Journey. marzis.com, M-A-R-Z-I-S, marzisjourney.com. We have 2 minutes before the break, then our last segment. How long total were you in prison?
It took 259 days, almost 9 months we were there. And as I mentioned, they sentenced us to death by hanging. They put lots of pressure on us. They threatened our lives, the lives of our family members, to deny our faith. And finally, you know, because of lots of international pressures, first of all, because of God's grace and his miracle. And second, we heard from our sisters who were outside prison that how many Christians all around the world, they were supporting God. Some of them went in front of embassy in UK and they protest. And Amnesty International got involved, and Pope from Vatican sent a letter to government on behalf of us. And also in the U.S. later, when we immigrated to the U.S., some people in the State Department we met, they told us that behind the scene, they were talking to the regime to not to do such a cruel things. And I believe because of all these international pressures, we got released. Otherwise, I wouldn't be alive, like many other Iranians who lost their life and they executed them.
Extraordinary. And what year was this that you were released?
It was, I got arrested in March 2009, and I got released end of November 2009.
All right, friends, we will be right back because I want to talk about the people of Iran today and try to better understand who they are and how we can reach them. Check out marzisjourney.com. Again, the two books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I've got some exciting news for you today about an amino acid formula scientifically shown to build lean muscle, improve strength, and reduce recovery time at any age. Dr. Robert Wolf was a researcher of muscle health who raised $20 million to fund 30 years of research and was able to perfect a formula scientifically shown to build lean muscle, improve strength, and improve recovery time at any age. And now this formula is available in Trivita's MyoHealth. Here is what Trivita members have to say. Patricia P. says, I'm 88 years old, a ballroom dancer, and compete in competitions. I could not seem to keep my muscle tone until I started taking MyoHealth. James H. says, I'm 60 and have experienced more solid definition of muscle, more energy, more stamina, and enhanced recovery after my workout. Now begin to imagine what you could do with more muscle, increased strength, and faster recovery. Whether you're a ballroom dancer like Patricia or someone looking to boost their fitness at 60 like James, now is the time to revitalize and rebuild the muscle, strength, and recovery of your youthful years with MyoHealth.
Build lean muscle. Improve your strength with MyoHealth. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of the proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. If you're not getting our Frontline newsletter, the newsletter that's going to be going out in February, not only will have a stirring article that will really edify and bless you, but stories of the gospel actually being preached in mosques in the Middle East. by some of our own spiritual family, people that we support and stand with. Yeah, really happening. And then an amazing testimony from a former Muslim and how our ministry was able to help him come to Jesus. So that's all going to be in our Frontline newsletter. Yeah, you want to get it. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Sign up for the Frontline newsletter. It'll be coming your way within the next couple of weeks. All right, back to our guest, Marzia, and the website, marziesjourney.com. You know, a lot of Christians hear about needs with prisoners in the faith around the world, people in jail, sentenced to death, similar to yours, and they're urged, you know, write this letter, do this. And sometimes you think it doesn't make a difference, but in your case, along with God's grace, it made a great difference. So you're able to get out of prison and leave Iran and now tell the world your whole story. Did you ever think when you were initially in that underground dungeon with that filthy blanket and treated like a dog that you'd be telling the whole world your story?
No, I didn't have any idea. And I strongly believe God had a purpose for sending me to prison and also for sending me to the U.S. because after I got released, again, in another dream, God told me to come to the U.S. even though my pastor was in London and they asked me to go to the U.K. But because of that dream, I told them I need to obey Jesus. So I strongly believe that God brought me here for a purpose. And since I came here, I shared my story in my both books, and I keep speaking at different places, different churches to encourage, not only to encourage people in their faith, but also to let them know how much is important to appreciate freedom and our values before it's too late. And in my second book, A Love Journey with God, it's not just about a loving story. It's about a lot of pains and sufferings. Besides sharing my journey with Jesus, I try to educate people about how it is like living under Islamic rules. So that's why I encourage people to read this book and to educate themselves, especially, after Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th, which was a horrific crime against humanity that showed the whole world the evil nature of radical Islam, which supported by the Islamic regime in Iran. And I try to educate people about the evil nature of this regime. And these terrorists always know how to play as victims to deceive the world. And many in the West have blindly supported Hamas without having any knowledge of who they are supporting. Even Palestinian civilians are suffering because of Hamas terrorists, but their voice will not be heard by media because it goes against the narrative. And it's the same. It was the same about Iranians too. Iranians for more than 40 years, they suffered under this cruel regime, and the world would not hear their voices. But finally, they were able to draw a clear line between themselves and the regime. But about this attack, I believe that the only good point about Hamas attack on Israel was that it brought to the surface that how much America and the West are infected by the Islamic regime. And it has become clear that how many politicians and protesters have been brainwashed of the regime through Hamas supporters to force Israel to stop the war and impose a ceasefire. And no one likes war, including me, but I try to, you know, warn people that this war is totally different.
Yeah.
And I believe all democratic countries must stand with Israel to eradicate this evil regime forever, because we can't wait for another Holocaust to happen.
No.
And the Jews has the right to live. And I experienced the evil nature of this regime. That's why I try to keep warning people through sharing my story and my story in my book.
All right, so I've got a few questions, so I'm going to have to get short answers this time around and maybe expand at another time. All right, first quick question. When did you realize your heart was changing towards Israel and the Jewish people?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, when I became a Christian, and before that, as I said, despite all this brainwashing, since I had a great parents that they never taught me about hating others, I didn't have anything against Israel, but I could not understand why the regime keep brainwashing, you know, people with these kind of things. But definitely after I became a Christian, reading Bible, reading the history of Iran, because the regime tried to hide this amazing history from people. And as you know, there are many great prophets in the Bible that their graves are in Iran, like, you know, Prophet Daniel, his grave is there. Queen Esther, King Cyrus, all of them are there, but unfortunately, most Iranians do not know about these places. They only know about the grave of King Cyrus. Still, the regime tried to avoid people to approach that place, and they get arrested. But there are many amazing history. I believe Iranians and Jews had a great connection from the beginning. It was King Cyrus that helped Jews to rebuild their temple and the other kings after him. So we had a history of friendship and love together. But unfortunately, this cruel, evil regime tried to eliminate that and teach people the wrong history. But after I became a Christian, definitely by reading Bibles, the stories, I got to know that amazing history. And I really wanted to visit Israel even when I was in Iran, but I knew that at that time it was impossible. Even if I could, they would you know, arrest me with the charges of spying for Israel.
Yeah, really.
So I waited and I went to the United, I came to the United States, and I have to wait until I became an American citizen, which I became an American proudly American citizen in 2016. But still, I waited, I prayed. I didn't want to just go to Israel and visit the country by my own decision. I wanted God to give me the signal. And finally, it was last year that he gave me the signal. And in April, I had a great opportunity to visit the Holy Land.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Yeah, and again, thanks to our mutual friend, Jonathan Feldstein, for connecting us to do this interview. So, last question. We keep hearing reports about the underground church in Iran growing amazingly. We know the younger generation is much less interested in radical Islam than the older generation. And then the constant fears of Iran getting a nuclear weapon and war and from your perspective, what's happening in the hearts of the people in Iran? What's happening with the gospel? And can you see a national change on the horizon?
You know, I would like to say that, first of all, Islam is not a religion of peace at all. And speaking the truth about Islam is not Islamophobia, because radical Muslim is all about violence, hate, anti-Semitism, revenge, killing, and women's rights violations. And there are many verses in Quran that describe this kind of violence, and it's Islam. But that doesn't mean that I'm against Muslims. There are many Muslims who are peaceful Muslims. Like in Iran, majority of Iranians, they just born as a Muslim. Like me, when you're born in a country like Iran, a few days after that, they fill the documents and you became a Muslim. So there are many Muslims in Iran that they do not have enough education about Islam. They don't practice Islam, and they didn't read Quran, and they don't know the depth of this dangerous ideology. So when I was in Iran, for example, I always encourage Iranians to read Quran first Besides, you know, sharing my faith with them, I asked them, please go ahead and read Quran because you need to read this book. And that's an eye-opening for many Muslims. And that's why I'm saying that there are, unfortunately, there are many Muslims all around the world. I'm not sure about other Muslim countries very much, but I know about Iranians that many of them, they don't have anything regarding, you know, this violence. They are against this regime. They turn their back to the Islamic regime. And millions of Iranians now, they are standing with Israel, especially after brutal Hamas attack on
Amazing.
Israel. They showed their support in different ways. And they in different protests, they would chant different slogans like, no Gaza, no Lebanon, I will die for Iran. And another time, the regime tried to force them in a stadium to show that how much Iranians support Palestinians, but they chanted something that I can't say it, but they try to show that they don't care about, you know,
Palestinians.
Amazing courage. For many years, they try to take advantage of Iranians and spreading lies to media.
Marzi, we are out of time. Everyone go to marzisjourney.com. Check out the two books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God. Maybe we can have you back and continue our discussion. MarzisJourney.com. Thanks so much for joining us. What a great story.